was just a white lie. Sin is sin, whether it's a lie or whether it's a murder or whether it's a robbery or whatever it is. Sin is sin. We sing, don't we? He can make the vilest sinner clean, and so he can. All the world has sinned. Some might be really vile and difficult and terrible sinners, that they've lived terrible lives. And God can equally forgive that as he can forgive us. Sin is sin. And God cannot look on sin. He is holy. He is separate from that. Completely separate from that. That's why Jesus died. And that's why he has made us whole, made us perfect before him, because we are his children, forgiven, and it's forgotten. Praise God. I stood here a couple of years ago and watched a young man who sat just over there, and you could see that he was being called of God. You could see the tears flowing down his cheeks. And in the end, he said, "No, I am too bad. I am too much a sinner to be forgiven." And he went away and didn't claim Jesus as his Lord. Who knows what has happened to him since? Perhaps he has come to the Lord. Who knows? But on that particular day, he said and felt that he was too bad a sinner. You know, the price that was paid was enormous. Nothing can be too vile a sin for the sacrifice that Jesus, that God made. We've just celebrated Easter. We've remembered Calvary. We will remember the same thing shortly when we break bread. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. The very central tenet of our faith. The message of Jesus crucified is that sin, death, and hell are defeated.
Amen.
This is our watchword. This is our faith. That sin, death, and hell are defeated. They no longer apply to me, no longer apply to you if you've claimed that victory, that forgiveness in Jesus. Our joy is through his terrible death. And what a sacrifice that was on that day. He gave his life so freely, his decision to die for you, for me. And we can become, and we are, the family of God. How wonderful is that? I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? We are children of the living God. Don't worry about meeting these celebrities. I'm a son of God. Do you know? They've got nothing on us. Praise God. Forgiven. And a son of God. You know, we sing, our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His blood, his righteousness. And we should thank him constantly for the privilege that he has given to us. Not just on a Sunday afternoon, constantly thank Jesus for what he has done for you and what he has done for me. That death on Calvary, central to our faith. Jesus Christ, both God and man, died on that cross. You know, it's a historical fact that Jesus died on that cross. But it was the most important historical event of all time. Nothing ever can be more important than that sacrifice that he made on that day, because he made a way.
Yes.
He made a way for you, he made a way for me, and we can, praise God, be made whole.
Yeah.
How wonderful is that? Through his blood, through his sacrifice that he gave freely, not because of what he had done, but because of what we had done, have done. He died for you and for me. Can you turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Romans chapter 5? And we'll just read a few verses, starting at verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also can boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, made right with God. Just some comments about that reading, those few verses. We were powerless. We were ungodly. Now we are filled with his power. Filled with his power. We are saints of God. Can you believe it? Believe it. It's true. We are saints of God. Children adopted into that royal family. We're forgiven.
Amen.
We're forgiven.
Amen.
And those are going to be my three words that I'm going to repeat several times this afternoon. God demonstrated his love for us. His love, God's love, is so boundless. So much so that he can't help himself. He cannot help himself. He has to love us. He made us in his own image.
Yes.
And he loved us before we were born. Before we had committed our first sin. And then even when we were away from him and sinful creatures, he still and does love us. The vilest sinner can be forgiven. Repent, own him as Lord. We're forgiven.
Amen.
One of the real precious messages of the Bible is that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, yes, David, Christ died for us. He died for us. He loved us even before we obtained his forgiveness. He was just waiting. He waits for us to call on him. And whether you're saved or whether you're growing in Christ or whatever your situation is, call on him and continue to call on him daily, every day, all day if necessary. Call on the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the man on the cross beside Jesus, that malefactor, who came to Jesus almost with his last breath. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Even on the cross, his love for the world was still personal enough to love one person, the person on the cross beside him. And although we know and believe that Jesus died for the whole world and loves the world, he died for you as an individual and loves you personally as an individual. That malefactor, he was. was forgiven.
Amen.
He was forgiven, praise God, almost with his last breath. I want to tell you a story about a notorious murderer. He was sentenced to life imprisonment in this country not that long ago and spent the rest of his life in prison and ultimately died in prison. He had stolen, he had murdered, he was heavily into selling and supplying drugs, he was an extortioner, and much more besides. Yet he was sentenced to life imprisonment and spent the rest of his life in prison. And he began to wonder what God would think of him as a murderer. I wonder what God thinks of me as a murderer, he would say. I'm a common thief. I'm a murderer. Surely I am too vile a sinner for God to have any love or any forgiveness for me. But you know, God, in his wondrous mercy, he provided a prison visitor. And that prison visitor was a Christian. And he asked this visitor, how can God even think of me, the vilest of sinners? And the Christian visitor began to explain that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And he told the prisoner about Moses, who had killed an Egyptian man, of Saul, later becoming Paul, who was party to the death of many Christians. Why persecutest thou me? Said God to him. Of Samuel, who hacked a man to death with a sword. Read it, it's in the book. King David, who was a murderer, adulterer, and of course the man who was beside Jesus on the cross, all turned to God and were forgiven.
Amen.
Praise God. And this murderer in prison, this vilest of offenders of our modern time, he mulled these things over in his head and in his heart. And over a period of time, the visitor was able to lead him. To the throne of grace.
Yeah.
How wonderful. How wonderful. He was born again. He was forgiven. And this man later died in prison, praising God. He was forgiven, and it was a forgiveness that he didn't deserve. Do you know who he was? Reggie Cray. Power of God to salvation for you and for me, even Reggie Cray, one of the vilest offenders of this time. Praise God, he's in glory.
Amen.
Forgiven. Forgiven because of that death on that day. How fantastically wonderful is that saving grace of Jesus. He died for you. He died for me. He died for Reggie Cray. He died for that sinner on the cross beside him. All can be forgiven because of the precious, precious blood of Jesus. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon. A pardon receives. Thank you, Lord. You know, we are justified, made right by the blood of Jesus. People in the world, they don't understand this talk about blood. What are you going on about this gruesome issue of blood? Well, just think about it. Blood is the life giver. It takes oxygen around the body, and it also removes the rubbish from your body as well. And Jesus died and gave his blood for our justification. We are justified through him and his blood. We are made right with God. Can you just think for a minute of the enormity of that? God is everywhere. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. And you and I as an individual can be made right with God. He gave his very lifeblood. His life was lost, at least his human life. And he died, why? That we might be forgiven. And that chapter in Romans goes on to say that we can be saved from God's wrath. Now that's something you don't want to experience, God's wrath. He is a loving God, but he's a just God, and he cannot look on sin. And you must turn to him and remain loyal to him. Stay with him, walking with him. Stand fast to the very end to inherit eternal life. We've got a choice. He gave us a choice. That's why we're made in his own image, because we can choose. And now is the accepted time. If you're watching on the internet, now is the accepted time, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. We were enemies of God. By our sinful nature, we were enemies of God. And now we are saints of God. We are children of God. And as children, we receive every spiritual blessing. Amen. Every spiritual blessing. And if you've received some blessings from the Lord, well, that's great. But I tell you, there's more to come. Praise God, there's more to come. Heaven is beyond our wildest imagination. And that's our home. Citizens of heaven, that's our home. He's provided us with the passport because we are forgiven. Because we are forgiven. Mike talked about the wise and foolish virgins a week or so ago. Some were ready to enter into the marriage feast. Some were not. They had no oil. I think they probably previously did have some oil, but they used it up. Make sure you stay steadfast in your faith. Don't run out of that oil. Be ready for when the master comes. The bridegroom cometh. Make sure your lamp is trimmed, ready and waiting. Keep on walking on with the Lord. I've said this already, but I'll say it again. We are reconciled to him through the death of Jesus. Through his death, we are made right with God. But the point is, friends, we're not made right with God for now. We are made right with God for all eternity. Just think how long eternity is. And just think if you're in hell, how long eternity is. No escape. But we, praise God, will be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. Reconciled to him. And saved through his life, that chapter says. Now, I believe we're saved through his death. So I had to stop and think, what does it mean we're saved through his life? Well, what do you think he's doing? He's interceding for you and for me alive forevermore, interceding with God on our behalf. And he's telling God, I've forgiven those folks there. That is his ongoing life, his ongoing responsibility. That's what he's doing. In his life, he is interceding for you and for me. He's the best barrister in town. So that chapter says, now we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's ours. It's the gift of God. Rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. If you have been forgiven by God, rejoice and rejoice again. And if you've not yet been forgiven by God, in part or in whole, now is the accepted time. Now is the moment that you too can receive that forgiveness. One of mine, and I know your favorite chapters in Romans, Romans a powerful book, is Romans chapter 8. I'm going to ask you in a minute. You know the answer, don't you? Some of the themes in there are just fantastic. So, Ava. What time is it? 10 to 5. At 10 to 5 on Sunday the 30th of April, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. At 10 to 6 in an hour's time, there'll still be no condemnation. In a month's time, stand firm, there's still no condemnation. Because we are forgiven. Hallelujah, we're forgiven. Like, you know, that story of Reggie Cray really touched my heart. It really did. Just the evidence of the depth of love of God. And that even for him in prison, although he was condemned to life in imprisonment for all eternity, there is no condemnation. Forgiveness means we are not condemned. Forgiveness means we walk in the Spirit, full of the power of God. Do you know that you are full of the power of God? You know, God made this universe. He made every far-flung star. And that power is within you, the power of God. Forgiveness means we are free. Free. Romans 8. No longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves, but sons and daughters. Praise God. That is just wonderful that we are no longer slaves to sin. Forgiveness means that the Spirit of God lives within us, dwells within us. And as we said on Tuesday, empowered to go. Empowered to go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Make disciples. That's our job. Empowered. We're empowered to go because the Spirit dwells in us. Forgiveness means we're alive in Him. And how long are we alive in Him? Eternally. Eternal life. Forgiveness means we are sons and daughters of God, part of that royal, holy family. Forgiveness means we are heirs of God. We used to sing, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, and even more than that. And that is your and mine inheritance. Thank the Lord. It's all in Romans 8, this. Forgiveness means in this hope we are saved. And I always like to read expectation when I read the word hope in the Bible. This is our expectation. We expect and we know that we are saved. Forgiveness means the Spirit strengthens us. We're empowered to move mountains. Move mountains. If anything gets in your way, the Spirit of God will be able to move it out of your way. Amen. Forgiveness means He intercedes for us, as I said, the best barrister in town. Yeah. Telling God about you and about me. How wonderful is that? Forgiveness means that all things work together for good in our lives, those of us who are called to Him. He guides our path. There are no coincidences. What happens in your life is a God incident, not a coincident. Forgiveness means He loved us before time began. He knew you and knew of you even before time began, because God is love. Forgiveness means we are justified and glorified, which means we are made anew. We are new creatures, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness means that we are on the winning side. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, we're on the winning side. You don't want to be on the losing side, I tell you. You want to be on the winning side. Praise God for His love and mercy that brings us onto that winning side. And forgiveness, towards the end of chapter 8 of Romans, means that nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not just in time, but in eternity. The love of God for all eternity. Forgiveness means that we are dead to sin. Praise God. Dead to sin. We are holy. We are saints of God. Privileged people. A peculiar people. I love that. That we are a peculiar people. Which means we are very, very special people. And all of that that I've said this afternoon is because of the love of God. We're made anew. We're forgiven. And God's love is for the world, the whosoever. But God's love is for the individual as well. It's personal. It's for you. He knows you. As I say, the receding numbers of hair on my head, He knows all about. He cannot help Himself. His love is eternal. He knows you. He knows me. And if you know Him, get to know Him better. Strive to know Him better. And if you don't know Him, accept Him today. We're shortly to have the coronation of the King. I'm glad He's saying that He is the defender of the faith. Because He did want to say, didn't He, that I am the defender of faiths. Somebody prevailed on Him rightly. There's only one way. Through Jesus. I am the way. I am. That's God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's looking for you. He knows where you are. He's waiting for you. And that's how to lose your guilt, through the cross, through Jesus. It's all about what Jesus has done. It's not about what some other dead prophet, so-called prophet, has done. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And you know, we can't change ourselves. Rejoice if you have been forgiven. Bask in the blessings of God. And if you have not taken His forgiveness, There's no time to lose. Now is the accepted time. The Lord is waiting for you. Be forgiven. Be free. That gift is eternal. That gift is just waiting for you and for me, continually for us as saints, and maybe afresh for you if you're not yet a Christian. So whoever you are, wherever you are, and wherever you're watching this brief, simple message, remember that the forgiveness of God is available for you, and He is just waiting for you to call on Him, because He has paid the price for your forgiveness, for my forgiveness, and it's waiting for you, and it's free. Amen.